angels exist? Are healing miracles real? Is there life after death? Can people get supernatural help from another dimension? Has the future been written in advance? Sid Roth has spent 25 years researching the strange world of the supernatural. Join Sid on this edition of It's Supernatural.
Hi, Sid Roth here. What happens when you graduate from Dallas School of Theology, a master's no less, you're taught that the gifts and the tongues, speaking in unknown languages, it's not for today, and you have a housekeeper that minds the children, and what happened, Linda?
Well, this was actually a lady that we became very good friends with, and for a period of 5 years, any time one of our children was sick, God would speak to her and tell her. And some days she would just show up at our doorstep and say, "Is anyone here sick? The Lord told me to come and pray for them." And we didn't believe God spoke to people. We didn't believe you could pray.
Did your children get better? That's the question.
Well, yes, they did. They did. And this went on for 5 years. And it actually got to be sort of a joke in our house that if someone got sick, the kids would say, "Well, it must be time for Pat to come over." Even our children recognized that when she came and she prayed, that they were healed.
Now, Robert, this flies in the face of what you actually spoke against, praying in unknown tongues.
Oh, and all the way through this year, all the way through those years with Pat coming over and praying, I was preaching and teaching against healing and against the Holy Spirit, baptism of the Holy Spirit, against tongues. And I would stand up on Sunday and teach that these things don't happen.
And they were happening in your own house.
And they were happening in my own home probably 30 times over a five-year period. She would come, she would pray in tongues, and they would be healed. And we might not see her for 6 months, but if one of our kids got sick, she would show up at the door and pray, and they would be healed.
So in 1982, you have what Linda labeled a year from hell. What happened, Robert?
Everything in our life fell apart. It started out, I had a kidney stone, was in the hospital with that.
No fun.
That was not fun. I went through strep throat, bronchitis, pneumonia. Literally, I was sick for the entire winter. I could usually get out of bed and preach on Sunday and come back home and go back to bed and be sick until the next week. Our kids were all sick. Of course, the church didn't do well because I was only there once a week. Our finances were devastated. We would go to the doctor at least weekly during that entire year. And Linda would keep a schedule on the refrigerator to tell who got which medicines when. And we just got lower and lower and lower.
Linda, I remember that you were so in love with the Messiah. You couldn't wait to read your Bible. Did you grow cold, too?
Yes. I became very angry at God that this was happening. I felt like we were in the ministry, and He should not let this happen to us. And we got so desperate during this time, we even called our friend Pat. We said, "Pat, we're all sick. Where are you?" And she
said, "Robert, you let her do that?"
Oh, yeah. We were desperate.
Okay.
She said, "Well, the Lord didn't tell me to come." And we said, "Well, Pat, you've got to come and pray." And she came and prayed, and nothing happened. And we said, "Well, what's wrong?" And she said, "Well, maybe it's time for you to learn to do this yourself." And we did not like that answer at all.
But one night, they go to bed depressed, angry with God. It must have been awful, you preaching on Sunday and going through the hell. You must have felt like a hypocrite.
Well, it got to the point where the only time I would pray or read the Bible was for official church things. And we were really making serious plans about leaving the ministry, moving away.
But one night, what happened, Robert?
Well, a friend of ours who is a charismatic came to visit us. And we started to talk. He asked us how things were going, and we lied through our teeth and said, "Oh, everything is great." And he knew in his spirit it wasn't. And so he started asking us questions, and finally we just began to dump. And we told him how discouraged we were, how bitter we were toward God. what the last year had been like. And he said, I don't have an answer for that. I don't know why God would let that happen, but I know he wouldn't let it happen without a purpose. And then he asked if he could pray for us. And we said, sure, we were at a point where we didn't really believe in prayer, but we let him pray. He prayed, and then he had a vision. And we didn't believe in visions, but he went ahead and had one right there in our living room. And he said, I'm seeing a picture, and I'm seeing that you two are looking at everything through a stained glass window, and you can't see clearly. But God's going to do something, and you will.
And you went to bed that night. I don't think you had a great deal of hope from that prophetic word.
No.
What happened?
We went to bed depressed, bitter against God, just a weight of oppression on us. We woke up the next morning and everything was changed.
Overnight?
Overnight, the presence of God filled our home.
Yeah, but Linda, what about you?
Oh, it was the same thing. I woke up in love with Jesus. I could not stop singing. I couldn't stop reading my Bible.
What happened?
Well, we did not know what had happened. We just knew something had changed. And we couldn't imagine that it could have anything to do with the Holy Spirit because we didn't believe that the Holy Spirit did that
kind
of thing.
But a few days later, Robert, you're by yourself, and what happened?
Well, let Linda tell hers first because
okay.
It happened to her first.
I was standing at the sink washing dishes and singing, and I felt something very strange inside. It felt like bubbles coming up, and I knew I was about to speak in tongues, and I thought, oh no, what am I going to do? And I ran back to our bedroom, and I closed the door and locked it, and then I ran into our bathroom and closed the door and locked the door, and about that time, I just began to speak in tongues. And years before, I had asked God why the angels worshiped all the time. I couldn't understand that. Well, as I began to speak in tongues, I sensed the presence of angels around me, and I knew that whatever I was saying was the same thing.
Robert, that same day, what happened to you?
I was walking down the hall in our home and just enjoying the presence of God.
Did you know she was praying in unknown languages?
I had no idea.
Oh, no.
Okay.
I was just enjoying the presence of God, hearing praise songs running through my mind. And as I walked down the hall, the Holy Spirit said, you can pray in tongues if you want to. And without missing a beat, all of a sudden, tongues began to flow out of my mouth.
You realize that simultaneously, they both started speaking the same day in unknown language. One didn't know the other was doing it. And it wasn't something they were instructed to do. And it was wonderful. But this led to an entire paradigm change in their church, way beyond what is known as the charismatic movement. I mean, way beyond. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Our world is rife with comparisons about what separates us. Day after day, we go about our lives with tunnel vision. But Scripture tells us how Messiah broke down the wall between Jew and Gentile, allowing for the creation of one new man, one new humanity. Sid Roth has discovered Scripture's key to reaching the Jewish people with God's love. One New Humanity opens the door for God to move in signs and wonders, and all will see the evidence of the invisible God promised in Scripture. At SidRoth.org, you'll find mentoring tools to empower you to share how One New Humanity is critical to bringing multitudes to know God. You'll understand Israel and the Jewish roots of the church and how all the nations of the earth will experience blessings unseen in human history. Log on to SidRoth.org today and learn how one new man is the key to unlocking God's greatest blessings.
Sid Roth here with Robert and Linda Heidler. Now, Robert is a pastor. And the Spirit of God has come on both him and his wife to the point where they can't help themselves, even though they don't believe in praying in tongues. Separately, on the same day, they start praying in an unknown language. The Spirit of God is on them. They're so excited, and God begins to change in their life. The biggest change that occurred after that was a man of God came to them and gave a word from God to them. What was it, Robert?
Well, Chuck Pierce came to us at the beginning of 1997, I believe, and had a word. He said, our church is supposed to celebrate three biblical feasts that year. And I have a great respect for Chuck, and so I began to study what the biblical feasts were. And I remembered from seminary that there were feasts in the Bible, but I'd never taken the time to study them. And as I studied them, I saw that they weren't just holidays and they weren't just rituals, but the Bible calls them appointed times. It's literally appointments with God, times when God wanted to meet with his people over the course of every year and to accomplish some very specific transactions with them to bring them into a new level of blessing every year.
Now, did God show you that these feasts were requirements for, say, your righteousness or your salvation, or if you didn't do it, you were in trouble with God?
No, they were not. I don't believe that they're, for a Christian today, that they're anything that's required. We won't go to hell if we fail to do them. They were given to us as blessings. They were given as tools to lift us up to a higher level in him, to draw us closer to him. Over the, you know, we live in a world that there's so many influences that try to draw us away from God. And it's very easy for people to just drift away from God over the course of time. And the feasts were put there every year to draw us back to him, to keep us on track so that we move forward and really experience the blessing that he has for us.
You know, I have another unpublished manuscript of yours, which is so fascinating, and it talks about the cycles of God. And it talks about there are cycles of blessing and cycles of cursing. It was kind of, in your manuscript, you talk about the cycles of cursing. Explain that.
Well, there are cycles that people fall into in various ways that literally are cycles of curse that every year they're just taken down further and further into destruction.
In the history of my people, we have something we call the ninth of Av. Av is a Jewish month in the calendar. It's usually August. And on the ninth of Av, it's the most amazing things. So many bad things have happened on that cycle. Explain.
That's a good example of a cycle of cursing. You know, the ninth of Av traces back in Jewish tradition to the day when the spies came out of Israel, came out of the promised land, and they made the decision not to trust God and go in. They said, we cannot go in and take the land. And by tradition, that was on the ninth of Av. And that decision, you know, they spent the 40 years in the wilderness, the next generation did go in, but there was never full repentance for that. And so it put them in a cycle of curse, and it's almost as though every year Satan waits for that day because he knows that there's an opening there to release a curse against the Jewish people.
Tell me a few things that happened on that day.
It was on the ninth of Av that the Babylonians came in and destroyed the Temple of Solomon. It was on the ninth of Av that the Romans came in and destroyed the second temple. It was on the ninth of Av when the Romans in 135 put down the Jewish revolt. It was on the ninth of Av in 1492 that the Jews were expelled from Spain. It was on the ninth of Av during World War II that the deportation began from the Warsaw Ghetto to the death camps. Just this last year, it was on the ninth of Av was the final date before the troops went into Gaza and forced the Jews out of that land. So all down through history, whenever the ninth of Av comes, it's like there is a curse that comes back and cycles around because there was never full repentance for the original sin.
You know, just as there are cycles of curses, there are cycles of blessings. And Robert and Linda have found that as they observe the biblical festivals in freedom, there are many, many blessings that occur. Robert, what kind of blessings are there for observing the biblical festivals? What cycle do you tap into?
Well, there are all sorts of blessings because there are different things that the feast are designed to accomplish. One thing that has really impressed me, we've done a lot of deliverance ministry, we've ministered in that area, And as I've studied the feasts, so many of the principles that we use in deliverance are built into the feasts.
Linda, how do you react to this? Your whole life now is revolved around the cycle of the blessings of the feast. How do you really enjoy it, or do you put up with it because you're married to Robert?
Oh, I love it. It's a great blessing. And with each feast, you find that God is doing something different in your life. And a lot of times it's very practical things that you find that he's doing. For instance, at Passover, it says, clean your house out. And just through the course of the year, sometimes we find things make their way into our homes that just shouldn't be there. And once a year, going through your home and really looking at things and saying, is this something I really want to keep in my home? Is this the kind of thing that promotes the presence of God in my home? Or is this something that would invite something else into my home? At Passover, you find the instruction to clean your house, clean it out. And it begins to take out the things that would hinder the Spirit of God or would bring in negative influences into your home.
Listen, don't go away. We'll pick up right here.
Many viewers report testimonies of miracles, signs and wonders, and healings as a result of watching It's Supernatural.
I was assaulted last February and I had a concussion and felt tired all the time. Tonight, when Sid and his guests prayed for healing angels to be released, my neck was healed.
I'm 19 now, but got saved at 16, and your show was here to guide me and help me grow in the Word and the supernatural of God. The testimonies I heard gave me such a great faith and made me want to live in holiness and righteousness. If it wasn't for It's Supernatural, I don't think I would be where I am today.
I am 17 and would like to say this ministry has changed my whole life. I have been saved for about 4 months now, and my whole life has changed. Amazing. It's the best thing that has ever happened to me. This ministry has really brought my faith to a new level.
If you've been touched through watching It's Supernatural, share your testimony at sidroth.org/praise.
We now return to It's Supernatural.
Hello, Sid Roth here with Robert and Linda Heidler. We're talking about their unpublished manuscript. You've never read information like this before because it takes the biblical feast. It's not under bondage, not you have to, not that it has anything to do with salvation, but it's a cycle of life, a cycle of blessings that you... Robert, you really believe that people can go into this cycle of blessings by observing the festivals in freedom?
Oh, thoroughly, because we have seen it happen. And we don't put pressure on people to do it, but we lead them in just by showing them what God has promised. And every year as we have celebrated these, new people that have come into the church that have never celebrated them before will come up to me and say, why haven't we done these before? Why have we missed out on this? This is so wonderful.
You know, my thought is if the first church observed these festivals in freedom and there were enough blessings for them to do it, if Paul talks about running to Jerusalem for the various feasts, maybe there's a blessing that is missing. I have to tell you, my recollection, like a Passover Seder, long, boring. Linda, are your services the same old every year?
Oh, no. Every year we ask the Lord, how do you want us to celebrate this year? And I don't know that we've ever done it twice the same in a row.
How do children fit into this?
The most fun we have is with the children. For instance, this year at the Feast of Trumpets, we talked about the different ways that sound affects you and what the trumpet is supposed to do. We brought in sonograms, and we said, this sound shows a picture, and when the trumpet sounds, it will show you what's inside that God wants you to deal with. And then we moved into the days of awe, and we said, now, after you see what's inside, God wants to begin to speak to you about it. It's very important to listen to God. So our children's pastor told the children, now I'm going to say some very important things. Everyone be quiet and listen. And the minute she said that, it was the cue for everyone else, all the workers, to start making noise. They turned on the TV. They turned on a CD player. They pulled out video games. And all the while, she's saying, now this is important. Listen, listen. And the point to the children was, there's some things you need to get quiet and listen when God wants to talk to you so that you can deal with it.
Robert, have you found in the cycle of the feast there's actually supernatural protection?
There is supernatural protection, Sid, because built into the feasts are principles of deliverance. And if you take the feasts and celebrate them not as a ritual, but as a time to meet with God and really allow Him to do a transaction in your life, what it does, it cuts off the enemy's access. And a lot of the ways that the enemy would bring in oppression are just cut off through what takes place in the feasts.
I have a question. I know you have the question. What about the Sabbath? Is it Sunday or is it Saturday? If you don't observe the Sabbath, are you going to go to hell? Are you in trouble with God? What is your understanding, Robert?
Well, God gave Sabbath as a gift. He gave it as a blessing. And God wants us to know that we can take one day out of seven and enjoy Him, enjoy His presence.
I have to tell you, the rhythm you speak about in your manuscript, it's so wonderful. You see, I actually go to a church on a Sunday, but to me, there's a degree of work connected with it. You know what I do on Sabbath? I don't get dressed up. I relax. I read. I'm with my family. I think about God. I try my best not to do any work. I believe physically, the physical body needs, Sabbath means rest, needs a day of rest. The truth of the matter is, the Sabbath, the true rest, is not even a day, it's a person. His name is Yeshua in Hebrew. He's the one that brings rest. However, if you don't take your Sabbath and rest before God as God instructs us to do, I mean, it's one of the Ten Commandments, you know. You'll have to take many Sabbaths in a hospital. That's just the way it works.
What's interesting, Sid, in the early church, until the 4th century, the church actually had 2 holy days because they would celebrate Saturday as a Sabbath to celebrate God, the God of creation, and then Sunday they would celebrate together the resurrection of Yeshua. And it wasn't until Constantine's day that Sabbath was outlawed and they moved Sabbath over to Sunday also. But I feel the same way that you do. I treasure that time of rest.
How about you, Linda?
I feel like God made us to operate the best when we have a day of rest. And when you find many health problems begin to come in when you don't observe Sabbath, when you don't get in the cycle, the weekly cycle, that God created and that He gave to us as a blessing.
You say here there's a cycle of revival in the fall feast. What do you mean by that?
If you look through the stages of, the fall feast, you're coming into the Feast of Tabernacles. And that is really picturing the presence of God, the glory of God, coming down and dwelling among His people. In the wilderness, the people came out of Egypt and lived in temporary shelters. And God said, make a temporary shelter for me also, and my glory will come down and dwell with you. And so Tabernacles is all about the glory of God. It's about the power and the presence of God coming down and living with His people. But there's a preparation that's needed to come into the experience of that.
And you know what I think so amazing from his manuscript here? The previous biblical festivals are the preparation for revival. I mean, look, Yeshua, Jesus said that not one jot or tittle is going to be eliminated from the law, and the law was the Torah or the Old Testament, until all be fulfilled. Yes, it's all fulfilled in the Messiah, but it is the guideline, if you will, for revival. Explain the preparation.
Well, there are several steps. First comes the Feast of Trumpets. And there's really only one requirement on that day, and that is to hear the trumpet blast. And it's given as a wake-up call. It's a time where God says, things are changing. It's time to move into God's presence. Wake up, get alert. And, most revivals in history have started with some sort of a wake-up call. Sometimes it's an economic crash. Sometimes it's a war. Something gets people's attention and says, we need to get serious about God. God didn't want us to have to wait for a disaster. He wanted to give us a wake-up call every year to get our attention turned back toward him, and that's the Feast of Trumpets.
Question. What if someone comes on the scene here in America, his name happens to be Constantine, he's Constantine the 50th or whatever, and he says, you cannot meet in homes, you cannot observe biblical festivals, denude it completely from everything you do, what would you do?
Well, that's a good question. At this point, I would not want to give them up. And, you know, in Constantine's day, a lot of people suffered persecution and even death because the Christians would not give up the blessing that God had given to them in the feasts.
Linda, how about you? How would you react to that question?
I would believe that God would have a way for us to continue to worship him the way he wants to be worshiped.
You know what my thought is? This is the set time to favor Zion. This is the time that spiritual scales are coming off of the eyes of Jewish people. Now, when a Jewish person looks at a Christian, they say, I don't see anything Jewish about you, and they happen to be right. When a Christian person looks at a Jew, they say, I don't see anything Christian about you, but what, you know, we're instructed, the Bible says, that Romans 11:11, salvation has actually come to the Gentile to provoke the Jew to jealousy. What would provoke the Jew to jealousy? What I believe is, as you observe these biblical festivals in freedom, as the Spirit of God is poured out on you and the blessings of God are poured out on you and your family, you will provoke Jewish people to jealousy. And they're going to come in because they've never seen anything like this. And by the way, most Christians have never seen anything like this, but it's time for a new paradigm. Get this manuscript, but most important, get intimacy with God. Get rid of your sins by repenting and believing that Jesus died for your sins. His blood washes them away, and then make Jesus your Lord. And observe in the Hebraic way. Worship God 24/7, not just on Sunday morning or on Saturday, 24/7. I'll tell you, there's nothing like intimacy with God. It's good.
Many viewers report testimonies of miracles, signs and wonders, and healings as a result of watching It's Supernatural.
While watching your program, I received healing from a twitch of my eye that had been going on for more than 6 months, making it very difficult to read. Praise Jesus, I am healed.
If you've been touched through watching It's Supernatural, share your testimony at sidroth.org/praise.
For he himself is our peace,
who has made both Jew
and Gentile into one,
and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall.
His purpose was to create in himself.
To create in himself.
His purpose was to create one new man.
One new man.
One new man.
Один новый человек.
Адам хадаш эхад.
One new man.